Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Midwest Madness, your true crime cult conspiracy encrypted podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Danielle.
Do you want to talk about your trip?
It was great. Super fun.
It was like a week ago already at this point.
Yeah, I know. It feels a lot longer. Break. It feels like a lot longer than that. Yeah, spring break was pretty tame, which was nice. I mean, I felt like I kind of needed it. We went and had a hot pot. That was fun.
We did do hot pot.
Really good.
Yeah, it was delicious.
So glad we could do that and make some time to do that. And then
State hockey tournament.
Probably, honestly, one of the best hockey games I've ever seen in my entire life. Was that championship game. Fucking phenomenal. And 7-6. Good job, Moorhead Spuds. Congratulations.
Spuds.
Yeah. Super, super good time. I feel like that's like a religious experience in our family. Like,
State hockey tournament?
Yeah. It's like a tradition that we've had for so long at this point. Like, mom was telling me that the first time I went, I was literally like 4 months old.
Yeah.
So, which is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So, I love that we do that and can continue to do that and make that kind of a tradition in our family. So,
it's definitely fun.
Yeah. And I got to go to some baseball, some spring training in Arizona. That was fun. Not something I thought I'd be into, but it was really cool. I really enjoyed it.
What did you guys see?
California team, Padres. Yep. Padres and shit. I don't remember the other one. I don't remember the other team.
Cool.
But because they had merch from everybody that plays in Arizona, like does their spring training. They had like merch from the Mariners. They had merch from the Padres. They had merch from blah, 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 blah. So not the Twins is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because they're Florida.
Yeah, which would have been cool, but it was still fun to do that because that's not something that you get to do all that often, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. We can get into my story.
Let's do it.
It's not super long.
Okay.
But I got my idea from the TV show How I Escaped My Cult. Have you heard of this?
I've not seen it though.
Yeah, I don't know if it's newer or not, but it's been showing up on my stuff.
Yeah.
Recently. But you can watch them on Hulu. So this is from episode 2.
Okay.
I believe. And we are going to be talking about the Angel's Landing cult in Kansas.
It does not sound familiar, but that could very easily change.
Okay. Born in Arkansas Pass, Texas in 1959, Luke Castro became the leader of the religious group called Angel's Landing in the early 2000s. The group was located on a 200-acre property in a rural area that was north of Wichita. He convinced his followers that he was a centuries-old angel who had magical powers, including the ability to see the future and the ability to predict death and the ability to bring people back from the dead. Lou first caught the attention of law enforcement in 2003.
Whoa.
When he was living with a small group of his followers on that 20-acre property. Why is that?
Whoa? That was a lot more recent than I was expecting.
Well, I said the early 2000s.
I know, but when you say 2003, early 2000s versus 2003 sounds so much more wild to me.
Okay.
I don't know. It just, giving it an actual year, it's like, wait, what? Like, I was conscious. You know, I like remember stuff from 2003.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So those followers were Patricia Hughes, who was the longest member of the cult and sort of a mother figure to others. Her husband, Brian, a man named David, who was a friend of Brian's who had joined after going through a bad divorce. A woman named Jennifer, who was Lou's original realtor, who helped him find the property in Kansas, and her two daughters, Sarah, who was in her mid-teens, and Emily, who was around 11.
I feel like I might have heard of this one.
Maybe. Jennifer was actually so into this cult that she left her husband to join and brought the two girls with her. The group seemed to be living an extremely lavish lifestyle with fancy cars, multiple houses, and a huge pool. Things seemed to be going good for a while, and Sarah even mentioned how it was a great support system for her at the time, although she never did like Lou. She just got bad vibes. But with this lavish lifestyle they were living, they didn't have jobs, and police couldn't find a paper trail for anyone named Luke Castro, so they couldn't figure out,
like, who he actually was.
Yeah, and how they were affording all this fun stuff.
Okay.
So after a few months... But unfortunately, police were just suspicious at the time and didn't really have anything to go on at this point, but gut feelings. So after a few months of living at Angel's Landing, things took a turn for the worse. First, Lou started telling his followers that to stay alive as a, quote, centuries-old angel, end quote, he needed to have
sex with as many women as humanly possible.
Young girls.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. In June of 2003, Sarah was on her way to a car dealership to meet with Lou when she received a phone call from her younger sister, Emily. She stated that Patricia had slipped and fallen. Patricia was the mother figure slash oldest member of the group.
Okay.
Patricia had slipped and fallen into the pool, and she was dead. She stated that Patricia... Oh, wait. Whoop. When Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office Detective Ron Goodwin heard about the 26-year-old Patricia's death, he took an active interest in trying to figure out what was happening at Angel's Landing.
Thank God.
After his wife's death, Brian seemed to be severely depressed and began talking with Lou Moore. According to Sarah, Lou kept saying things like, quote, one day you'll get your chance to go to the other side, end quote. And in March of 2006, Brian was working at an auto body shop when a carjack failed while he was underneath a car and he was crushed.
I was going to say, I have a feeling that he got that opportunity to join his wife on the other side.
This is when Detective Goodwin decided to dive into all the financial information for everyone at Angel's Landing, not just Lou. And what came out was a disturbing pattern. So basically, every 2.5 years, the group's money and accounts would dwindle down to nothing. Then a member would mysteriously pass away. Thankfully, these members who would die in accidents always had life insurance policies taken out on them. And of course, the beneficiary would be another member of the Angel's Landing group.
That's not suspicious at all.
And the accounts would be full again. Unfortunately, though, Lou had alibis for both of the deaths of Patricia and Brian. So they couldn't arrest him.
And the kids are not their kids, right? Emily and...
They're Jennifer's.
Okay, that's what I thought.
The realtor.
Okay, I just want to be sure.
Who left her husband to join the cult.
Yikes.
Okay. It also seemed the name Lou Castro was a fake one, so investigators didn't even know who exactly they were investigating. This went on for a few years, with police trying to figure out exactly who Lou was, and them being unsuccessful. So they would do things like follow him into, like, restaurants and try to get fingerprints.
And, like, DNA and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. But they just weren't able to get anything.
That's crazy. Well, I suppose, like, DNA testing was a thing, but it wasn't quite what the monster it is now.
And it seemed like they were more focused on fingerprints than
okay.
DNA.
Okay.
Okay, so by this point, Sarah had been being sexually assaulted by Lou for around 7 years. He kept telling her that it was going to, quote-unquote, fix her. And in September of 2008, Sarah's mom, Jennifer, died in a freak car accident. Detective Goodwin amped up his investigations, scared that in another 2 years, there would possibly be another death. This is when Sarah met her now husband, a man named Daniel McGrath. Daniel helped comfort Sarah after the death of her mother. And when Sarah finally started to feel comfortable enough with Daniel and began opening up about what was actually happening at Angel's Landing, he decided that he needed to do something. So in 2010, Daniel submitted an email with all the information he had learned about to the FBI via their website. So I guess you can go on their website.
And, yeah, like, and like give tips and stuff.
Yeah. So this is when Detective Goodwin began working with local agents to try to figure out who Lou Castro was again. So they're still trying to figure out who exactly he is. But at this point, the group had moved to Tennessee, and although Sarah had stayed behind with her new boyfriend, her sister Emily had gone with them. So okay. When...
That's got to be so stressful as the older sister.
Yeah. Oof. When Lou Castro moved to Tennessee, he also changed identities and now was going by the name of Joe Venegas. He even went as far as to open brand new bank accounts under this new name, which is bank fraud. So finally, Detective Goodwin and investigators were able to get an arrest warrant, and with the arrest, they were able to get his fingerprints and real identity. Lou Castro's real name was Daniel Perez, and he had been convicted of some sex crimes back in the 90s before disappearing. Most people assumed he was actually dead. So
wow, he really disappeared.
Yeah. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison for these bank fraud stuff. So after his conviction, investigators were finally able to talk to the girls, and by girls, I mean like Sarah and Emily, and get their stories. When they talked to the two sisters, they learned about the sexual abuse, but Emily had another story to tell police as well. Turns out, back in 2003, Lou slash Daniel had told Emily to go into the pool house and wait there. When she did, she saw Patricia standing on the diving board. The next thing she hears is a scream and a splash. Lou then comes into the pool house and tells Emily to wait 20 minutes, then call the police and tell them that Patricia had slipped and fallen into the pool. She said she did what she was told, and that extra 20 minutes she waited was enough time to give Lou the alibi he needed. After he finished his 2-year sentence for bank fraud, Daniel Perez was arrested for the murder of Patricia Hughes, child exploitation, and multiple counts of sex crimes and fraud. Both Sarah and Emily testified against Daniel at his trial. One of the girls detailing how he had raped her hundreds of times throughout their years together, which is
horrifying.
I can't even imagine. Daniel Perez was found guilty of all 28 charges he faced. To break it down, he was convicted of 1 count first degree murder, 8 counts rape, 7 counts aggravated criminal sodomy, 3 counts aggravated assault, 1 count sexual exploitation of a child, and 8 counts of making a false statement. He was sentenced to 2 life sentences plus 406 months with no possibility of parole for 80 years, so he will be long dead by then.
Good. So. Good riddance, you jackass.
Yeah. So there we go. That's the story of the Angel's Landing cult.
That's crazy. Those poor girls. Yeah. Like, good for them for being brave enough to, like,
talk about
finally
it.
Take a stand and do something about it. And, like, good on her husband. Holy cow.
I know, for real. Because they were just, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, and, like.
What an incredible partner to have.
Green flag.
Yeah, for real. Where's the green flag guy?
Yeah, literally. Like, good for him for. Because without him, like, I don't know how much longer, you know, what's going on.
How many more people might have died or been raped or whatever, you know? Like, there's no way he was going to just stop with those two.
No. Exactly. With the pattern they had. Oh, and there was also, I didn't.
Do they think that he killed their mom, too? Sorry.
No, she's still alive.
I thought she died in a car accident.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
You're
right. So do they think he was involved in that too?
Yeah, happened like there. And then there's also a plane crash in like 2001 with some of the members.
Jeez.
But they didn't really talk much about that. So I don't
How do you have a cult if you kill all your members?
Valid. Valid question. So I didn't go too in depth on that. But anyway, my sources were ColumbiaDailyHerald.com, Kansas.com, Oxygen.com, and TimesNowNews.com.
Our socials are MWMadnessPodcast@gmail.com, Midwest Madness Podcast on Facebook, and MW Madness Podcast on Instagram.
Cool. Everybody, have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you all next Tuesday.
Bye.